Let's pray together. Almighty God, we come before Thee in the name of the precious Saviour, Jesus Christ. And we thank Thee that Thou hast given us this opportunity to worship Thee, that Thou hast given us this place where we can gather, and that Thou hast promised to grace this place with Thy presence. We pray therefore that Thou wilt give us also an attentive ear and a heart that is softened by Thy grace, that we might hear the things that the Lord God would say this night. And we pray that as we part, that Thou wilt be pleased to bless the hearts of each one here. Our God, Thou knowest the needs that we have, each one, and we pray that this night will be significant in our lives as the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is pleased to speak to our hearts. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. I want to read some verses to you this evening from Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel chapter 4. It's just a few verses, but we are going to read from Mark chapter 4 and verse 1. I think you'll be familiar with this little passage. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that is teaching, and it says this: "And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, and because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up, and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." That's a fairly familiar passage, perhaps, to some of you. We often hear about the Lord Jesus Christ speaking about the sower and what happened when the seed was sown. And of course, it's a parable. It's a picture story. And while we understand the aspect of the seeds and the earth and the birds, it of course has a deeper meaning, greater significance, and it has to do with the way in which the gospel is preached and how it is received in the hearts of men and women. This evening I want to speak from a verse that you find in the Old Testament. That was a reading from the New Testament. But there is a little verse which has to do with sowing and seeds and farming and harvest in the Old Testament as well. And it's found in Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20. Here's what it says. It's just a short verse, and it's a very straightforward and simple verse to understand. It says this: "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. I've come in this afternoon from Shoto, and we're passing all the fields, and there's still a few harvesters, combine harvesters out there, but the vast majority of the work is done now up there on the bench, and there isn't much more harvesting to be done at all. But this little verse from Jeremiah, it speaks about harvest and it speaks about summer. It speaks about the end of those things. And it tells us about time passing. And it tells us about missed opportunity. And it tells us about loss. I wonder if there are any farmers here this evening, or people who have worked with farm machinery or been engaged in some aspect of agricultural life. Timing is important on the farm. Most important, much more important than I ever realized, is timing. You have to get it just right. And farmers are men that are often watching the calendar. But I remember thinking about that, when to plough, when to plant, when to harvest. I remember learning about a harvest moon, and I'm sure everybody's heard the song about the harvest moon. But it took me a long time to realise that the harvest moon was not the moon that shone during the harvest. The harvest moon was the moon that told the farmer in the olden days, now is the time to get out and cut your fields. This verse that is before us speaks about missed opportunity. And it has to do with a battle that was being fought in the land of Judah many years ago in the Old Testament times. It has to do with an attack that was happening on Jerusalem. And the people in Jerusalem were facing a mighty enemy. And they hoped that help would come in the form of an even stronger force, an ally that they hoped would come and deliver them from their enemies besieging their city. But the time of deliverance was past. The harvest was past. The summer had ended, and the hoped for forces that they thought would relieve the siege had never come. And the writer says, we're not saved. Has anyone ever seen the film The Last of the Mohicans? Yeah, one of my favourites. I just love that music in The Last of the Mohicans. Well, you might remember the story that there was a man there called Colonel Edwin Munro. He was the commander of Fort William Henry. And it was the time of the colonial wars, and the French and the English were trying to battle out to see who could get the most territory in this land of America, long before it was the United States. The French had some Native Americans, some Indians with them on their side, and they were holding out, the British were holding out in that fort against the French, and they were waiting for someone. They were waiting for a man called General Wade, who was only a few days' march away. And they were hoping that he might come from Fort Edward on the Hudson and relieve the fort there that was surrounded by the enemy soldiers. And if you know the film, you know the story, you'll know that those reinforcements never came. And the story unfolds, and the inhabitants of the fort end up getting massacred and butchered. That Bible verse is a verse that a soldier on the fort might have uttered if he was a religious man waiting for his reinforcements, his relief to come. He might have quoted as he felt the time running out, and as the French closed in and the bombardment continued on top of the fort, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. Our deliverance hasn't come. The second thing that this verse tells us about is being in danger. And if you need to be rescued, if you need to be saved, it's because you're in danger. In fact, being saved is only meaningful if you are in danger. You don't need to be saved if you're not in trouble. You don't need to call help if you can look after yourself. I read a story about an old man. He was an old man. He was well into his 80s, and he was out on the hills. And he was a walker. He knew how to handle himself out on the hills, and he was what they called a wild camper. So he was out there on the hills. He'd gone up with a group, and they'd got caught in a storm, and he'd got separated from his group. But he knew how to handle himself up there. And so he started to pitch his tent and just bed down when the night came in and there was a storm. But the group went back to the base camp and they realized he wasn't there. So they raised the alarm for this guy. And there was a big search party went out. There were people looking all over the place for him. He was okay. He was in his tent. He knew what he was doing. They found that guy 4 days later, walking down the hill. And a lady met him who was out doing some photography, and she said, "Are you the man that they're looking for?" He said, "Nobody's looking for me." He said, "I'm fine." He said, "I had seen the search parties down in the valley, and I never even shouted to them because he thought he was fine." You don't need to be rescued if you're not in trouble. You don't need to be saved if you can handle things for yourself. But here we're told in the Bible that people have got a problem. And even although they may not know about it, the Bible tells us that it is appointed unto men once to die. And after that, the judgment. There is a judgment that is promised to all men and women in this world. And we will be answerable. We will be accountable for the things that we have said and done, for our words, for our actions, for our thoughts. And God, who is holy, will hold us all accountable for all the breaches of his law and all our disobedience against his word. We may not appreciate that we're in danger, like that man on the hill, but we are. When we think about what the Bible has to say. The book of Ephesians was written by a man called the Apostle Paul. He said this in chapter 5 and verse 5. "Know this. Know this," he says. "No whoremonger or unclean person or covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." Same man says in Galatians chapter 6 verse 7, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Third thing that this verse tells us here is of the possibility of salvation. The Bible has a lot to say about salvation. The Bible tells us that it comes from God. The Bible tells us that it's a gift of God's grace and his goodness. And the Bible tells us that it is a very rare thing. There are many more people think they're saved than actually are. Salvation, deliverance, redemption, pardon, these are all words that the Bible uses to explain the salvation that God gives to men and women because of the judgment that is coming. And there's an urgency about the salvation of God because time is not on our side. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Genesis chapter 6 verse 3 says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh." And pretty soon, these bodies of ours are going to have to be laid down. And pretty soon, these bodies of ours are not going to live and breathe anymore. And there is a day of judgment coming. John the Baptist could speak of fleeing the wrath which is to come. And the last thing I want to say, and then we're finished this evening. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for your courtesy. Is that there is also a great sadness about this verse. Time had passed. The opportunity had passed. The relief forces had not arrived. The harvest was past, the summer was ended, and we are not saved. The opportunity was gone. Jesus Christ is God's way of salvation for sinners like me and like you. Jesus Christ, if he is neglected, Jesus Christ, if he is despised, Jesus Christ, if he is not considered in our lives while we have opportunity, while we have time, while it is yet light, then that opportunity will pass. We have to realize that we are in danger. We have to realize that time is short. We have to realize that there is an accountability coming and a judgment is sure. And we have to know that only in the Lord Jesus Christ is there a way of salvation. What a terrible day it will be when we realize that the opportunity has passed and we are outside of Christ. So I finish with a question. What is the state of your soul tonight? What do you think about Jesus Christ? Proverbs 27 verse 1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring." The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. The time is now. May God grant us salvation before it's too late. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for listening to what I've had to say. I'm going to say a quick prayer and then the meeting will be finished. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news that there is salvation for sinners before it's too late. We pray that thou wilt bless the things that have been aired this evening and considered. And that little verse that we read together with respect to the sower and the seed, we pray that thou wilt give us eyes to see and ears to hear. And we pray that the seed that has been sown will land in good ground, and there it will grow and be fruitful and be blessed. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen.